Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. This podcast is sponsored by Montana's great state parks. Visit fwp.mt.gov.
Searching for adventure that supports local community, boosts the economy, and gets you outside? Get away to one of Montana's 55 state parks. For events, park guidelines, and more, visit fwp.mt.gov/stateparks. See you out there.
I think everybody's feeling it in some sort of way. Renters, homeowners, for sure. Many Montanans hit with pretty dramatic increases in property taxes. A lot of reasons that go into that. Of course, these rising property values, chief among them. But local government spending plays a part. Regulations, you've got inflation here too, temporary kind of impact here. The limitations placed on our resource economy, all that stuff plays a role. The governor's property tax task force have been studying that for quite some time here. Problems, potential solutions. Last week, they released their findings. Today, we get on that. Two key members of that task force, State Representative Lou Jones with us and State Senator Greg Hertz. Today on Voices of Montana, as we dig into these recommendations and rationale for property taxes here in Montana. We're going to get a ton of insight here, too, with two members who have served on that committee. They both chaired subcommittees within the task force. And we'll welcome first State Representative Lou Jones, House District 18, and now vying for 17. I know they had some changes there, but Representative Jones, how are you today, sir?
I am doing well. It's a pleasure to hear from you, sir.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're back on. Chair of the Tax Fairness Subcommittee, a lot of service there, 10 sessions in the legislature. So, and State Senator Greg Hertz as well, chair of the Local Government Subcommittee, started serving in the House in 2013, six legislative sessions under his belt for the fifth generation Montana. Senator Hertz, how you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day up here in along Flathead Lake, and looking forward to have some discussion here and helping people understand property tax, our system here in Montana.
Yeah, it's was that part of the job, Greg, getting or I know you guys who worked on this task force probably had a pretty good understanding of it, but getting Montanans to understand how it impacted them so much in this last session. Do you think that's still a job that needs to be done?
Yeah, it's difficult. The way you calculate property taxes, the different inputs, the how voters vote on levies, et cetera. And every time I sit down, and especially this type of group, you always learn a lot about property taxes and the different nuances that come with them. And so it was really a good understanding, and we had a well-rounded group of individuals from county commissioners, city council members, educators, legislators, members of the public. And, you know, we all learned something in this process, and I think that came with some good recommendations.
Yeah, I appreciated the approach here as well. Representative Jones, why don't you talk about this process, too, because I kind of noted a little bit off air in passing. I'm looking at these recommendations. You could tell that there was a lot of work, and it was not just people going through the motions here to put a report out. They were looking for solutions.
No, it certainly I was very pleased with the group, very pleased with the governor setting it up. And actually pleased with how it began, because you had to begin with a couple concepts. First off is taxpayer money needs to be treated like a scarce resource. So you couldn't just talk about who pays the taxes. You had to focus on making sure that there was spending restraint as well. A lot of that actually Senator Hertz's section did. But finally, we also had to look at what was different. What has changed over the last 10 years, the last 20 years? And in Montana, there is a significant difference that has occurred. 20 years ago, residential was about 50% of our tax base, of our market value. Today, it's 76%. A lot has changed. A lot of it is our coal mines are being shut down, our coal plants are shut down, our timber mills are going away. So you have a bunch of the industrial being, from environmental pressures, other driven out of the state. And then, of course, on the natural resource side, at least. And then, of course, we've kind of been discovered. We're like Hawaii in some ways. In 60% of the western area, you've got massive move-in. You know, Big Sky's always an example that pops to mind, the Yellowstone Club and those, but it's across the state. Whether you're at Whitefish in Senator Hearst's area, well, I should say across the state, mostly in the western area, where you're seeing an explosion of folks moving in that are either building second homes here, vacation homes here, or buying up homes here and moving here, making the house prices explode. We had 13 million tourists come to our state. During COVID, we were the single most visited state. We now have become hugely visited. And we're a state without without sales tax and unlikely to have one. So you're going to have to try to discuss a solution, given that we're not the natural resource state we were 20 years ago.
Yeah, and I'm going to throw that to you, Senator Hertz, for a follow-up on that. As Lou had noted, a lot of movement into the western side of the state. There's some dealing or some recommendations in the committee that tries to kind of level that playing field, but we've been trying to level that playing field for quite some time, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And, you know, Representative Jones did touch on several things, and exceptionally what's going on here in western Montana. I mean, we used to have 30-plus sawmills over here, and those are all gone. So they used to pay a lot of the property taxes. Just the two mills in Missoula County that closed down recently, they were paying, between the two of them, $1 million in property taxes. Yeah. So they'll still pay a little bit on the land values there, but the businesses. So that property tax needs to be absorbed by, you know, residential property taxpayers in Missoula County. So you can really see the shift, and that's been going on for a number of decades. So, you know, we really, without a statewide sales tax, as Representative Jones said, we have to just work with what we've got. And so what we're going to try to do is we're focusing on Montana full-time residents and make sure we can provide tax relief to them. And unfortunately, that's going to be shifted over to non-residents and others who have second homes, et cetera, and short-term rentals. So there's ways to do it, but we're not going to be able to keep everybody happy as we go forward.
Yeah, that's going to be, I guess, one of the things that you knew going into it, so to speak. And we're going to take an early break and come on back and get into some of the details here, too. Still, what set up the issues that we're facing? Can we deal with those? And then what else can the legislature or other local agencies do? Greg Hertz is with us, State Senator, Senate District 7, previously Senate District 6, and Representative Lou Jones out of House District 18. You know, we'll get to some of these in more detail, some of these recommendations from the Governor's Property Tax Task Force, reduce the tax rate for primary residences under a dollar threshold. There's a number of them here. They kind of deal with education. They'll deal with local governments. And then tax fairness. Those were the three subcommittees that were set up. Equalization of school property taxes, another one of those subjects. We get to those with State Senator Greg Hertz, who's with us here. GregoryHertz.com for more information as he is running for your district moved. Well, maybe in number only, Greg. Why don't you give us a sense of what that new district looks like while we're at it?
So it did change a little bit. So previously I was representing Northlake County and Southern Flathead County and basically the entire Flathead Lake, where I've lived the majority of my life. And now my new district is just Polson, the city of Polson. And then I head due west and hit Hot Springs Plains, Thompson Falls, all the way to the western border of Montana up against Idaho. So I got most of Sanders County and looking forward to representing those individuals that I haven't represented before.
Great. I don't know. We talked quite a bit about reallocation, and it's here now. How about you, Representative Jones? House District previously 18. Now, how has 17 changed?
Well, no, it's still 18, actually.
Oh, it is. Okay, and, gotcha. And, sorry.
It didn't change a ton, right? I've always represented a rural area, so I did end up, I guess the biggest change for me, and I'm still going to be their voice, is the town of Cutbank is no longer in my area. And because I'm north central, I'm from the Canadian border, about three counties in this right area here. And then I shifted a little bit further south. I picked up Dutton and Power and just to the outskirts of Fairfield. So I moved a little further south and gave up a portion of Glacier County is what happened in my district.
Thank you for you know, sharing that too. I know that's part of our election scene so far for this year, 2024. Let's get back into this issue. Property taxes, again, is part of our election consideration this year too. People are struggling with dramatic increases. I'm not sure, Representative Jones, that we've detailed all of the problems here or the causes, so to speak. I think the reallocation and the the property taxes, as they are figured out once again, they throw a big wrench into this. But also, as we noted, some of our resources are, I guess, we're not getting the same kind of taxes there. What else is going into this issue?
Well, you hit on the key one, right? Natural resources is now down to 2% of the general fund. And when I first arrived 20 years ago, it was a good, strong third leg of the stool. And so as we become more tourist and visitor-based, we have to look at this, especially a state that doesn't have a sales tax. And so what we know is all property tax goes local except for the 6 mills that goes to the universities, the 95 mills returns. So we have property tax going local, and largely the state runs on income tax. So as folks build out here and they don't participate in the income tax, well, the income tax is all returned as well. An example is $180 million fire fund. And if you're living in these places, you probably benefit from those big air tankers we've seen recently, or helicopters fighting fires. But education, medication, incarceration, you certainly benefit from having no serial killers on the street. You certainly benefit from having a hospital if you have a heart attack. And so we have an imbalance that's occurring where Montanans are paying both property tax and income tax. So they're paying for both sides of the services, where some of our out-of-state folks, and we're happy they're here, they're not paying for some of those services. And so we started thinking about how we might be able to ensure that we're happy these folks are coming here, but without a consumption tax, how do we make sure that they participate in paying for a bunch of the services they consume and alleviate the burden, or at least to some extent, that's currently being paid for by the Montana property taxpayer or the Montana taxpayer.
Senator Hertz, do you have any follow-up on that?
No, I think, Representative Jones did a great job in covering that. And, one of the recommendations we're looking at that came out of Representative Jones' subcommittee is the Homestead-Comstead exemption. So that will focus on providing property tax relief to Montana full-time residents. Most states across the country have some type of homestead exemption. So, in fact, you look at Hawaii, which is kind of similar to us, big tourism area. You know, their individuals there, it's almost a 50% reduction for those full-time residents in Hawaii versus second homeowners there. So we're not going to be quite as dramatic. You know, you'll probably get a 15 to 20% savings. But there again, look at Hawaii's got too. They have a sales tax over there too. So they have a lot of other areas that they can backfill money into reducing their property taxes.
Yeah. Lou, do you want to go into that again a little more? One of the, it's one of the key, I think, suggestions out of your committee, the Tax Fairness Subcommittee.
Yeah, that's absolutely the plan, right? Is effectively the residential rate will be adjusted upward because we have for across the board. But what occurs with this is if you're a homeowner or actually a long-term renter, a long-term rental, right? So there's about 215 to 225,000 owner dwellings that would potentially get this reduction. There's also about 130,000 long-term rentals that would be able to qualify for a reduction. And then on the Comstead side, you're going to pick up about 30,000 of our smaller businesses, our McDonald's, our Taco Bell's, our coffee shops, that these Main Street businesses that we're hoping, and you know, our small entrepreneurial state, we want to keep them alive. And so we're going to try to provide some money there, and we're going to try to recognize that those folks that aren't paying income tax could potentially pay a little more to help cover the services they're consuming, right? And so that's the key behind it. The math seems to work fairly well. Obviously, if you have an out-of-state vacation home or one of the ones that doesn't get a decrease, you're probably not quite as happy as you would be otherwise. But in truth, we have a lot of, whether in business and home, folks that are headquartered out of our state that that do business here and are pretty effective, either not paying or very much limiting the income tax they pay here, which, of course, 93% leaves Helena and goes to provide services across Montana.
And that's the only recommendation from the Tax Fairness Subcommittee. Is that correct?
Well, we looked at a ton of different things, but ultimately, if you're collecting about $2.1 billion in property tax, pushing $3 billion, well, $2.6 in income tax, the only thing that could move enough money, $150 to $200 million around, to have a substantial impact that could truly help homeowners and long-term rentals was this proposal. You know, the other stuff we were talking about, playing with a percentage point here and there, was just biting at the edges. It didn't make enough change that it wasn't worth the push, because none of this stuff, you're always rearranging the chairs, right? And Senator Hertz deals with that section by limiting the spend, but if you're spending $1,000 and you're not changing the spend, all you're deciding is who pays. Well, we were trying to ensure that those folks that drive through our state and, you know, it's your income tax is helping pay for toilets flushing, but some of the folks driving through aren't paying income tax. Your income tax is helping paying for a fire to be put out, but some of the folks aren't paying for that. So we try to rebalance to ensure that the out-of-state folks participated at a much higher level, just because that fit under fairness. And in order to move enough dollars around, we had to do it in this sort of a manner.
All right, got a few minutes here. We're going to approach the education aspect of this. As we're looking at the governor's property tax task force, those recommendations came out. Just a ton of folk involved here, not only legislators, but those in the industry and also social services. A lot went into it. Greg Hertz is with us, state senator, GregoryHertz.com for more information, chair of the local government subcommittee. We'll get into some of those things, Senator, here in a little bit, too. And also Lou Jones with us, representative of House District 18. And you can find more. It's vote with two L's, LouJones.com. Hey, you guys, Greg, we're going to kind of switch to your subcommittee here in just a little bit, but let's kind of finish up on, let's do education here, because obviously that's a big component. Senator Hertz and also Representative Jones, you both have served on education subcommittees in your legislative career. We'll start with you, Greg. What's your take on some of those recommendations the public got to know?
So I think, you know, coming out of the education subcommittee, I think they did a real good job of looking at different areas there. And Representative Jones can probably speak more to education better than I can, but it's probably 50% of your property tax bill is going to education. And I think we've done a pretty good job previously under current law. Education limitations I think they do a good job when it comes to controlling property taxes. I kind of focus a little bit more on local government issues where things are getting moving along a little too fast, and we can touch on that in a little bit here. But I think some equalization across the county, I think that was one of the recommendations that came out of the education subcommittee. I think that's a really good idea and will kind of stabilize within a county so that everybody has kind of got a base tax rate of a similar amount if you live in a certain county when it comes to education taxes.
Yeah, I saw that being one of the major recommendations here is a base levy approach. Representative Jones, how does that work?
Well, if you think about our state, we have 397 school districts, and we're certainly a rural state and need a bunch of attendance centers. So I don't want to in any way suggest we don't need attendance centers. But if you look at places like Wyoming, I believe they have 56 maybe, but they have very limited number of school districts, South Dakota, North Dakota. And what happens, these little school districts become these arbitrary lines in the sand that between each one of these little 397 taxes are a little different. And what that causes is a difficulty from students moving between schools, but it also creates a massive administrative overhead as you try to decide what money goes where and shift stuff around. And so one of the conversations has been to keep the districts, in particular for the voted mills, if they vote for something, but to have a base levy equalization at the county level, to say that whatever county it is, there's X mills under the equity deal that are paid. Well, this means that to the extent there are some of those creative little tax havens out there where they found a way to create a school district that doesn't pay. Whenever somebody doesn't pay its share of taxes, the other district, who's probably educating the students, makes up for it. So what they found in doing this equalization at the county level is about 70-some percent were better off. It actually reduced the taxes for those homes and those people where they were living in their homes and they were putting kids in the schools. 56 to 57% of all taxes go to schools. Schools have a pretty effective cap, much more effective than the counties and cities that Greg will touch on, but they simply do not have a very, there's 397 districts in a state with 1.1 million people is an incredible number. It's creating a bunch of overhead and challenges so that the consumption of money by schools, which is the largest taxpaying entity, is simply very large. And so we hope that this would be a long-term solution that would begin to help alleviate that challenge.
There's we might have to finish up with education on the other side here. In 30 seconds, can you tell me what they did with the 95 mil school levy?
Well, the 95 mils, they're proposing that it's left alone. We already had a court decision on that. Yeah. But in truth, the 95 mils goes to a separate account. It's all returned to schools. And so basically, it brings in some money where the tax values are high and the students aren't and transfers it to where the students are. It doesn't stay with the state. And so their recommendation is don't mess with the 95 mils. Leave it alone and let it do the work it's doing. It's in a separate account.
Nice job. 30 seconds and all. Representative Lou Jones, State Senator Greg Hertz. We've got more as we come on back. We'll dig into some of the recommendations from the local government subcommittee, which Senator Hertz chaired. Yeah, we've seen our rising property values. A lot of that is the reappraisal timing. That's been addressed versus by various legislatures as well. The governor's property tax task force has come out with a report. This is August 15th. I recommend you go look at it, okay? Because a lot of these are going to come up as legislative proposals as we look at how we deal with the dramatic increases in rising property taxes, but also how the limitations on our resource economy have played a role in shifting taxes here. We are speaking with a couple of members of this task force, Greg Hertz, Senator out of Senate District 6 and now vying for 7, GregoryHertz.com, chair of the local government subcommittee, and Representative Lou Jones. It's VoteLouJones.com for more on what he is. A long service for both of these legislators, and thank you for that. He chairs the Tax Fairness Subcommittee. I got a text message here, and I'm going to just throw this out to whoever wants to take it, you guys. Please ask why, at the same time they are touting problems with property tax, a different committee is recommending they do away with the non-qualified agricultural classification and valuing and taxing those lands as a Class 4 subdivided tract land. It will raise taxes significantly on thousands of Montana landowners. That doesn't sound like somebody who's just got a passing interest in this. You're talking about the Class 4 lands and classifications. That all has a part to play in this as well. Who wants that one?
So I'll take that, Tom, because I'm in the Revenue Interim Committee. We just heard that recommendation from another group of legislators and Department of Revenue who are looking at that. And the whole idea behind that is tax fairness. I mean, you might be sitting on 19 acres and the guy across the road from you is 21 acres. His taxes are significantly different than yours. So they're trying to get some fairness in there. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done. Some of those bills came out of the Revenue Interim Committee. I opposed them all because they weren't ready. They needed a lot more, amendments to them, but we'll see some of that and we need to look at that. And that would also apply to these big out-of-staters who are buying these, 10, 20, 50,000 acre ranches and they're using them for recreation, yet they're getting agriculture. So we need to look at that too and make sure that's fair out there, that they're paying their fair share of taxes when they're using it for recreational and not agricultural.
Will that be problematic?
Yes, it will be because the problem is, anytime you do something, you might, impact someone who's actually, doing the right thing in agriculture and farming and in ranching. And so it's not as easy as people want to make it out to believe. And those are some of the issues that I had with it.
Understood. Representative Jones, you have a follow-up there?
No, Senator Hertz hit that correct, right? Our challenge has been that there's been some creativity gone with using the ag's productivity rate to get taxes way down while not being an ag producer. And so once again, if somebody finds a way to probably legally, but quite creatively, dump their tax rates very low, they inadvertently are making sure everyone else pays more. They're increasing residential property taxes. Because again, if you're still collecting $1,000, you're shifting the deck chairs around. And so, I've seen some of their recommendations as well, and I would agree with the senator that they need some more work. But I also recognize that, in particular with our move-in pressures, we certainly have a lot of folks qualifying for ag productivity rate that may not indeed be ag producers at all.
Yeah, and that can be, that can be approached, for sure. I'm going to, I found this off of your, I think it was your Facebook page, Senator Greg Hertz, where you noted property taxes, including fees for a house valued at around $375,000. And this was the 2022 tax year. And, so we might guess that somebody in Missoula County or Missoula City is paying a little more than they are in Fallon County. I'll give you the county figures here. I'll give you the city figures here. It's $2,800 for Baker. City tax, property taxes in general, a city resident in Missoula, $5,100. But you look at Bozeman, it's $3,200. So I think that tells you from the highs to the lows that you're dealing with a lot of public choices, and this is what your government or your subcommittee dived into. What come out of it?
Yeah, so that's basically, you're right, Tom. I mean, taxes are controlled locally, and it's a lot about local choices. And so that's what our subcommittee tried to focus on, was, giving the local taxpayers more choices, reviewing what their previous decisions might have been. Because you're right, just looking at taxes from county to county, they do vary. And, one thing we always hear from the local governments, well, we can't raise taxes more than half the rate of inflation. I just read an article this morning. Missoula finalized their budget last night. They're raising taxes 16% in Missoula for next year. And you say, how could that be? Well, there's a lot of different ways. I mean, those are voter-approved levies that might happen. There's fixed mills that don't get adjusted. There's special districts they're using. They're permissive levies. So it's really a big pot when it comes to these property taxes. So some of the recommendations that we pushed out are voted mills need to be in dollar amounts instead of mill amounts. And what that helps when appraisals go up, the local governments don't get a windfall. Sunsetting voted levies every 10 years other than bond levies. So voters get to choose again. Do I want to continue this levy that's helping our parks and recreation, or am I more concerned now about our roads? So there's a lot of different choices. Truth in taxation, we looked at that, and that's kind of like, well, you telling us that we can only raise our taxes by half the rate of inflation, but how did a city just raise their taxes by 16%? Mm-hmm. So there's more items in there that need to be done. And then another big one that's getting a lot of press lately is increasing the threshold to pass a levy. And our committee recommended 60% of voters must approve that. So that could go up or down. But there's a lot of states, I think there's 17 states that have a higher than a 50% plus one threshold to get to that. And then we need to look at tax increment financing, which in some cities is really shifting taxes basically from developers onto residential taxpayers. So that's just a few of them, and we had a lot that we looked at, but those are some of the ones that really came to the top of the recommendation list.
Representative Jones, what do you like out of that list?
I think that committee did very, very good work. TIFs are an example, since that's the last one that got brought up. TIFs, done correctly, do help with development, but there's a lot of abuses going on out there, and I don't think folks in residential districts understand that that's one of the major drivers of higher taxes, right? So again, if money is a scarce resource, and we recognize that sometimes the requests that come to a city or county are significant, that example was stark. If you're trapped at half the rate of inflation, which is the claim that's always made, then unless I missed something, how did you increase your taxes 16%? And there's so many holes and loopholes, you know, because what Missoula's hammering are over 1,000 mills in some places. And the Missoulians come and yell at us because they're at the legislators because their residential property taxes went up. But somebody voted for a bunch of this. Your alderman, your councilman, they did a bunch of these items. And again, folks want all these services. Services cost money. There has to be, if money is indeed scarce, you have to make some decisions of what services you actually truly need and how much money you want to keep in your pocket.
Well, and that's the heart of the question here is government spending in a lot of ways, too. And it seems like we've shifted the burden from things that I think we understood as government legitimate spending, like services, police and fire and education, open bonds, another issue, so to speak. But Senator Hertz, do you think that we have shifted too much of maybe it's the state's responsibility? You know, I know that's always part of the conversation here, but it seems like we're asking the taxpayer to pay more and more and more of a growing government, and it doesn't seem to be going the other way.
Yeah, I mean, Missoula is the poster child. I always hate to pick on my friends in Missoula, but they are the poster child of how you can abuse our property tax system. And I was glad to see on their budget approval now, generally a budget comes out of their city council 11 to nothing. It was 7-4. Mm. There were four city council members who said, no, this is not fair to the local taxpayer. So they're getting some attention there, but it is all about choices. That's why a house in Ravalli County might pay $3,000 in taxes, but that same house in Missoula County is $4,500, same value home. And that's why you see people live in Lake County, Mineral County, and Ravalli County yet drive into Missoula because they're tired of paying those taxes. So voters can shift and move to other places. But, you know, that gets to be more and more of a bigger expense, too, and causes other problems. But, you know, focusing and giving local taxpayers more choices. And then the local governments, well, you're taking away local control. Well, the legislature gave local governments local control. That's what we get to do. We get to tell local governments what they can do. And when all of a sudden you get some local governments that are out of control, whether the legislature needs to come down and put some restrictions on how far they can go. And that's why taxpayers get a hold of us, and they want us to put those restrictions on local governments so things cannot get out of control, like a 16% tax increase in 1 year.
Yeah, and some of those seem, you know, rather reasonable when you talk about a 10-year sunset provision on voter-approved levies, because 10 years is an awful long time, and there are times that we're paying for things we haven't necessarily approved of. There's other things in here, too, I want to talk about, but maybe we'll shift gears on how we get this into legislation. You two have been a part of our legislative process for a number of years, so I'm looking forward to kind of seeing how the rest of the legislature will maybe adopt these proposals. Maybe there's some changes in store. We'll do that as we come on back with more. State Senator Greg Hertz is with us, and also Representative Lou Jones here. Hey, these guys know how to do it because they've been doing it a long time. If you're wandering through your favorite small towns or floating under Montana skies on your favorite river, that's how you, Montana. Please visit MT.com. Plan your summer road trip right now in your own back card. Once again, MT.com.
Searching for adventure that supports local community, boosts the economy, and gets you outside? Get away to one of Montana's 55 state parks. For events, park guidelines, and more, visit fwp.mt.gov/stateparks. See you out there.
A lot of service for these two in our state legislature. Want to show my appreciation for that as well. Representative Lou Jones began serving in 2005, 10 sessions to his belt and 6 legislative sessions for Senator Greg Hertz, started in the House in 2013. And I know in following you guys' career, you've done a lot of work on various committees, including tax fairness, including local government education. Those were the three basic components here of this tax force for our property taxes. So, gentlemen, let's talk about then enacting these things. Representative Lou Jones, I know there was a lot of legislators that were a part of this task force as well. What do you think 150 is going to do?
It will be a challenge, right? The challenge with enacting legislation is that often the 215,000 homeowners, the 130,000 long-term rentals, the tiny businesses, they go on about their lives and they don't show up. But the folks that will show up, I'm an oil and gas producer, but the pipeline companies are going to show up and complain about that pipelines should be exempted. And the refineries are going to show up and they're going to talk about the refinery should, and they're going to put some pretty good lobbyists on the ground, should be exempted. And I already heard from Airbnb folks who said they felt Airbnbs, the short-term rentals, should be, they get the same break that the long-term rentals get. You know, and so everybody will come in and they'll work at getting their way out. TIFs is a perfect example. Since a lot of cities and communities benefit from these TIFs, and they don't, the aldermen themselves may not even understand the cost transfer, they're going to try to get a hold of every one of their legislators and lobby like mad that should be exempted. Well, again, if you want to have a 15 to 20% reduction, you can't keep letting people not participate. Otherwise, there's nobody to pay for the reduction. There is no reduction. I've been there a long time, and none of this stuff will be easy. There's an aggressive, well-paid lobby whose job it is to convince folks that, well, it's okay for the other guy, but let me out. Let me out.
Yeah, and well, so, that's we'll par see. For the course there, isn't it? Senator Greg Hertz, I want to save about less than a minute for you, though. Final thoughts and...
Sure. So, yeah, these won't be easy, as Representative Jones pointed out. We'll have legislators start to introduce these bills. I suspect I'm kind of known as the tax guy in the legislature. I'll be carrying a number of these bills and work through them. And my friends up there, some of the lobbyists aren't going to like what I'm going to do here. But, we need to just make sure the system's fair to everybody. But I would really encourage taxpayers. You don't really need to show up in Helen anymore. You can Zoom in the meetings, and we're going to try to do a little bit better job of letting the local taxpayer know, here's a bill that's really going to impact you. And if you could just take, 15 minutes, half hour out of your day and get on the Zoom link, Zoom in on a committee meeting and voice your opinion and how these might impact you. That is very helpful. Helps legislators a lot to see that the public is really supports these ideas versus just the normal folks we see in the hallways session after session that come up and are lobbying for their individual groups and entities.
State Senator Greg Hertz, appreciate you. GregoryHertz.com and Representative Lou Jones. Vote LouJones.com for more information there. Talk to you guys down the road. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.